Welcome to Journal Club for February 20th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. You've done it. It took you months of work, but you've done it. You trained the perfect computer vision model. Maybe it's a CNN, maybe it's a vision transformer, who cares? It's yours. It works, it's accurate, and you're ready to roll it out. There's only one problem. It's big. Real big. Way bigger than you anticipated. So, best case scenario, inference is going to be slow. Worst case scenario, you won't be able to deploy it to the device it's supposed to run on. So, what are your options? You've got quite a few, from network decomposition to quantization to knowledge distillation. And in today's paper, the authors introduce another method to consider. They call it LFRNS, the Low Functional Redundancy-Based Network Slimming Method. And they say it's your best way forward. The authors claim that using this technique, they were able to cut the parameters of computer vision models by more than half, with only a 1% loss in accuracy. How? Well, let's find out. In today's episode, we're going to start by looking at the status quo. How do all the other alternatives work? And more importantly, what are they lacking? And why is there even a reason to build another method at all? Then we'll turn to LFRNS and dive into why it may just be a new best-in-class option. But first, a little more context on this problem space. Deep learning has revolutionized computer vision, but its success has come at a cost. Modern CV models, especially those used for image classification and object detection, have grown exponentially in both size and complexity. Networks like ResNet, VGG, and VITs can contain millions or even billions of parameters. This demands significant computational power and memory. While this may not be a problem for data centers with high-end GPUs, it's a major barrier for deploying models on edge devices, smartphones, drones, and embedded systems. So, in order to get the most use out of those form factors, we need to figure out how to reduce model size without sacrificing accuracy. The question is, how? How can you trim these models while maintaining their predictive power? One approach is to not let your model get big in the first place. You accomplish this through what we call lightweight network design. This involves crafting architectures that are inherently efficient from the ground up. In networks like MobileNet, ShuffleNet, and GhostNet, you replace standard convolutions with depth-wise separable convolutions, point-wise group convolutions, or other optimized operations that reduce computation. While these architectures do work well in constrained environments, they require training from scratch and do not take advantage of the ecosystem of pre-trained high-performance models. Another technique is network decomposition, which factorizes weight matrices into lower rank approximations. Methods like singular value decomposition, that's SVD, and CP decomposition restructure layers so that the number of computations required per operation is reduced. While mathematically sound, decomposition methods often require fine-tuning to recover the lost accuracy, and their effectiveness diminishes as compression rates increase. At high compression levels, decomposition can introduce distortions in feature representations, and this leads to degraded model performance. Quantization offers a very different alternative. It simply reduces the numerical precision of model weights and activations. Instead of storing parameters as 32-bit floating-point numbers, it compresses them into 8-bit integers, or something along those lines. This greatly reduces memory requirements and accelerates computations. That being said, quantization introduces numerical errors that can significantly impact accuracy. This is particularly pronounced in deeper networks and tasks that rely on fine-grained feature extraction. While some quantization-aware training techniques can mitigate these effects, not all models benefit equally. Knowledge distillation is often confused with quantization, but it works in a totally different way. It transfers knowledge from a teacher model to a smaller student model. The student model is trained to mimic the teacher's outputs. This can produce compact but surprisingly powerful models. That being said, knowledge distillation works best when training both models from scratch. Applying it to pre-trained architectures is more difficult. Additionally, the process of training a student to approximate a teacher inherently involves some loss of information, and the effectiveness of distillation depends heavily on the similarity between the two architectures. Weight-sharing techniques reduce redundancy by enforcing constraints that allow multiple neurons or filters to reuse the same parameters. HashNets and other similar methods apply hash functions to group similar weights, and this lowers storage requirements. While useful, this approach struggles with structured sparsity and can make it difficult to fine-tune models after compression. Also, weight-sharing techniques are often incompatible with standard deep learning frameworks and can require custom implementations. Compared to the methods I just mentioned, network pruning is much more flexible. By identifying and removing unimportant weights, neurons, or even entire layers, pruning can reduce the number of computations required without altering the fundamental structure of a model. Some pruning methods use simple magnitude-based thresholds, for example, like removing the smallest weights, while others use more sophisticated metrics. That being said, traditional pruning strategies often focus purely on weight magnitude without considering the functional role of the filters they're removing. So as pruning becomes more aggressive, critical feature representations can be lost, leading to performance degradation that even fine-tuning cannot fully recover. Despite their differences, all these approaches share a key limitation. They fail to fully exploit the redundancy inherent in feature representations. Most methods focus on removing parameters or weights, but they do not explicitly account for how similar feature maps contribute to model predictions. This results in models that are pruned inefficiently, retaining unnecessary redundancy while sometimes discarding critical information. What is needed is a pruning method that identifies functional redundancy and ensures that only truly superfluous computations are removed. That is where today's paper comes in. And that is why the authors are introducing this new alternative, the low functional redundancy-based network slimming method, LFRNS. Instead of pruning based solely on weight magnitudes or structural constraints, LFRNS groups feature maps into clusters based on their functional similarity. It uses k-means clustering to identify redundant filters, i.e. those that produce nearly identical outputs, and removes them while ensuring that overall feature representation of the model remains intact. This is combined with FCR, a feature contribution ranking unit that assigns importance scores to feature maps. The FCR unit learns which feature maps are truly essential and selectively restores high importance filters that might have been mistakenly pruned. These two systems work together, pruning aggressively and then restoring where needed. This combination achieves significant compression while preventing meaningful accuracy loss. To understand how this is done, we need to get a better understanding of what a filter is. A filter, or kernel, is a small matrix of weights that slides over input data, detecting patterns such as edges, textures, or even complex structures as the network deepens. Each convolutional layer consists of multiple filters, and a single model can contain thousands of them, each one capturing different aspects of the input. The parameters of a model refer to the individual weight values inside these filters, which collectively determine the network's learned representations. Pruning at the parameter level means setting selected weight values to zero while keeping the filter itself intact. While this reduces memory usage, it does not significantly accelerate inference because most deep learning frameworks are optimized for dense computations and struggle to efficiently process sparse matrices. Contrast this with pruning at the filter level. Filter pruning removes entire filters, effectively reducing the number of feature maps produced at each layer. Since feature maps serve as input to subsequent layers, this directly lowers the computational workload, leading to significant reductions in floating point operations per second, that's FLOPS. LFRNS focuses on this latter technique, filter level pruning. This ensures that the overall feature extraction pipeline remains functional while still achieving substantial compression. The key to its effectiveness lies in its ability to recognize when multiple filters contribute redundant information. It roots out filters that, despite different weight values, ultimately detect the same or highly similar patterns in input data. By clustering feature maps based on functional similarity, LFRNS ensures that pruning removes only those filters that contribute little or no incremental improvement to the model's decision-making process. And as I mentioned earlier, The addition of the FCR unit makes this process much less risky. If the LFRNS overshoots and cuts out a very important filter, the FCR works to restore it. The authors designed a proof of concept, and then they put this to the test. They ran it against benchmark datasets like CIFAR-10 and CIFAR-100 to compare its performance against known state-of-the-art pruning techniques. They assessed both compression efficiency, in terms of parameter and flop reduction, and model accuracy before and after pruning. So how did it do? Kind of insanely well, actually. The results showed that LFRNS consistently achieved greater than a 2x reduction in parameters and flops across a number of CNN architectures, and it did so while maintaining accuracy loss below 1%. And in some cases, and this is truly mind-boggling to me, accuracy even improved slightly after pruning. Why? Because the slimmer model saw a reduction in overfitting, so it could generalize better and outperform the larger version on the benchmark tests. The authors also ran this method across a few VITs, the vision transformers, and it achieved a 1.5x reduction while maintaining accuracy. Impressive to say the least. So, is this generally applicable to all CNNs and VITs? There's really only one way to find out. This research is just begging to be replicated. So if you find yourself needing to slim down a CV model anytime in the near future, I suggest you follow the steps laid out in the PDF and see if this technique works for you. If you achieve anything close to what the authors did, it will be well worth your time. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.